Well, we have about 18 days until Christmas. How's the shopping going? For the first time, Tasha and I actually did decent this year. She said, we did all of our shopping in 2 days. We never do that. I said, yes, we do. We always do it in 2 days, but it's the 23rd and 24th that we normally do it. So we're thankful to take advantage of some sales. Over and over again, over the next few weeks, you will hear people say, Merry Christmas. Some people might accidentally say Merry Christmas. A lot of people will say Happy Holidays. But especially amongst believers, you'll hear people say Merry Christmas, suggesting that we have a cheerful and a joyful Christmas. People will say after Christmas, did you have a nice Christmas? Was it a good Christmas? And you'll hear words like joy and peace and hope more at Christmas time than at any other. This morning, we're going to begin a three-part series from now through Christmas Sunday entitled Joy, Peace, and Adoration. I pray that God would so work in our hearts this morning and over the next few weeks that this Christmas would be the most joyful, merry Christmas you've had. Time of worshiping Him. A Christmas that's Christ-exalting, Christ-centered, God-honoring, and memorable. Pray that when someone says to us, did you have a nice Christmas, that each one of us would respond by saying, most joyful Christmas ever. Now, for some people, it may seem a little crazy to have someone respond that way in the midst of unemployment, as some of you here this morning have faced. Possibly being upside down in your equity in your home is the last year you've watched it deplete. We have. Looking and I'm certain that there's people that have watched their commissions go down or their 401k has been depleted, and finding that maybe there's little security in your job and not quite sure what's going to happen beginning of next year. To others this morning, maybe marriage is difficult. Maybe there's a loved one with health issues, or yourself, you have health issues. You're smiling because I looked at you saying marriage is difficult. I had to look at somebody. Sorry. Yeah, I was looking at you. Sorry, Chris. Providentially, God just had me look from that direction. I don't know why. But it may be that there's other hard times. Maybe you're a single person and things just aren't turning out the way that you thought. Maybe you're feeling alone this Christmas or sad with changes that take place in your family, kids that have been married, or maybe some aren't coming home for Christmas this year. I'm certain that there's people here facing a number of different trials and tribulations. And in this sermon, I pray that you'd find or be reminded of the unchanging source of joy for each one of us. Having a Merry Christmas has nothing to do, it shouldn't have anything to do with our current circumstances, but rather being sourced in an unchanging God. You have a handout there in your bulletins, a yellow one, entitled Joy, Peace, and Adoration. And I began with a verse there that says, speaking, the psalmist is speaking here, and the psalmist is oppressed by his enemies as he writes this. He has enemies that are all around him, and there's trials that are there. And in the midst of this psalm, he says in verse 4 of Psalm 43, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance," or my salvation, "and my God." We look here in this passage, and in the midst of incredible trials and oppression, we see the psalmist preach a sermon to himself. And I pray that we would do that on a regular basis, looking and saying, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in a place of just, oh man, this is bad? Enemies are all around me. It's not going to turn out right. My joy has been depleted." The psalmist is asking him that question, why are you like that? Why are you doing this? He says that the response is, I will go to the altar of my God. I will get as close as I can to God. Having a Merry Christmas has everything to do with us as God's people saying, I will go and be as close as I possibly can with my God. Being in fellowship with him, being in intimate communion with him. Where do I go when I'm sad? Where do I go when I desire to have joy? I go to the altar of God. I go to the place where I'm as close as I possibly can be with him. What a wonderful thing it would be for us over this next 18 days and then continuing on in the new year to just take time this Christmas rather than racing around and doing all that we have to do and having that be alone our time from now till Christmas. Taking time just to be alone with God, in communion with him, in fellowship with him. Time of being in prayer, time of being in worship, time of being in God's word. One of the most joyful things for me over the course of the last 20 years has been driving down to Dana Point Harbor and just being by myself and being in my car or wherever it is and having God's word and having worship music on and just spending time with him, fellowship with him, not with all the distractions that are all around us, but just being with him, going to the altar of my God. And it doesn't have to be in a distant place. It can be in your room. It can be with your wife or your husband. It could be with a family member, a child. And it ought to be by yourself at times, just going to the altar of your God. I think of in Psalm 63 where the psalmist says, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." I'm right there in the shadow of your wings in fellowship with you. And as a result, my heart, it rejoices. So close, your right hand, it upholds me throughout the day. And so he says, "Then I'll go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." What a verse. Where does our joy come from? The psalmist says, "I will go to my God, I will go to God my exceeding joy." The emphasis of the quality of the joy is not sourced in circumstances. It's sourced in Christ. To God, my exceeding joy. People are looking for joy in all different kinds of places. Happiness in possessions, happiness in health, happiness in relationships. And you see in God's word over and over again, it says, "Come to me. I'll go to my God, to God, my exceeding joy. Blaise Pascal, if you remember studying him, he was an incredible mathematician, as well as philosopher and an incredible thinker, one who lived in from the time of 1623 to 1662. I don't remember all that much of what he did. I know he invented a calculator for his dad that was an accountant. Fortunately, he did that, so I don't have to make one for Tasha. my little CPA. But he was someone who was just an incredible thinker. Studied, came up with all these theorems. You've heard of him, right? Yeah, of course. I don't like talking about math around Tasha because it's... There came this humbling point where she asked me how far I went in math in high school. And I said, you know, I finished with Algebra 2. I was required, you know. And she goes, oh. So, well, where'd you finish, you know? I don't remember. It was something ridiculous. But I said, when did you take Algebra 2? She's, I think you said, like, I tested out of it my freshman year. just makes you mad, you know? Like, I struggled through it my junior year, you know? Fortunately, I took math for liberal arts students in college. It was the only one I had to take. It had something to do with you have a half a pie. You give half of that to somebody else. How much do you have left? That was the hardest question on the test. I got a C. math's not my thing, but it's not the point of the sermon this morning. You look at it and you think of who this man was. You know, he did a lot of things. But he was someone that had a life that was difficult. His wife passed away. From around the age of 18, he suffered a nervous ailment that made it so that every day he had pain. Every single day. 1647, paralysis attacked him to where he was unable to move without crutches. And he was one who, talking about different men, he said there's only two kinds of men, the righteous who think they are sinners and sinners who think they're righteous. And he recognized himself to be a sinner. He said, the gospel to me is simply irresistible. Why would you not believe in the gospel? And when he died at age 39, they found this piece of parchment that had been sewn into his jacket. And it had been sewn into, they found out later, every time he got dressed, he would re-sew this into his clothing. And it began by saying, I won't read the whole thing, but it began by saying, the year of grace, 1654. Monday, 23rd of November, from about 10:30 at night until about 12:30, he says, fire. He said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and of the learned. He says, certitude, heartfelt joy. Peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God will be my God. Forgetfulness of the world and everything except God. He is only found by the ways taught in the gospel. Grandeur of the human soul. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you. Joy, 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 tears of joy. Talking about his salvation, talking about that moment, that period from 10:30 at night until 12:30. Those hours that were there where on Monday, the 23rd of November, he says, fire was there. Joy, 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 tears of joy. Let me not be separated from him forever, he says. This is eternal life, that I know you, the one true God, and the one you sent, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Let me never be separated from him. And he closed by saying, may I not forget your words. Amen. They are sewn in his clothing everywhere he went. This picture of joy, 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 tears of joy when God captured my heart. He saved me that day in those hours. Fire. It changed me. And I think of so many people who go about their lives seeking joy and everything else when God says, it's God that you're exceeding joy. Joy, 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 tears of joy, regardless of endless pain, regardless of paralysis, regardless of loss of wife, regardless of whatever your circumstances are, he had this so close to his heart at all times. God saved me. On that day, in those hours, it changed me. Joy, 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 tears of joy. Let me not be separated from him. I think of that and I think he knew who the source of his joy was. Incredible mathematician, respected in history. And his source of his joy, like the psalmist, was in God, my exceeding joy. As we approach this Christmas time, may it be a Merry Christmas as we go to the altar of God, to God, our exceeding joy. The psalmist says, on the harp I'll praise you, O God, my God. I mean, can you picture the smile on his face as far as just, I'll take the harp and I'll praise you, O God, my God. Joy, you're my exceeding joy, the source of my joy. It's totally, completely found in you. So, soul, why are you cast down? Why are you bummed about your circumstances? Soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why is it that you're in a place of being deflated? His response is, as he preaches to himself, he says, soul, hope in God. Hope in him. In the midst of whatever your circumstances are, soul, don't be downcast. Go to the altar of God, to your exceeding joy. Hope in him. I didn't plan this. We ordered these bulletins from a company, but it says there, joy, peace, and hope, right there on your bulletins. What we think of when we think of Christmas. And the response is joy in God, our exceeding joy. Hope in God. Peace through him. He's the source of everything that's necessary for a Merry Christmas. He's the source of everything that's necessary for joy in this life. He's the source of everything that's necessary for joy, 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 tears of joy. It's all sourced in Jesus Christ. I went through and did a search on words like joy or joyous or joyful or happy or glad. And just went through and read probably a couple thousand verses that dealt with those particular subjects in Scripture. And I've just highlighted a few here. As far as the way that we should be thinking of joy, the source of joy, you find in Scripture where God desires for us to be happy, for us to be joyful, that our joy might be full, but he desires it for us to be joyful in him. Not in circumstances, not in finances, not in any things or health, that it might be sourced in him. Let's look at some of these verses. Joy in God, Psalm 16, verse 11. You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, the psalmist says. You show me the path of life, and it's in your presence that's fullness of joy. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants fullness of joy. Learn from what the Holy Spirit inspired these men to record in Scripture. In his presence is fullness of joy. It's the only place that you can find it. Going to the altar of God, to your exceeding joy, in his presence is fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Joy is found in Christ. Look what Peter says, 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He said, this is what you're thinking. This is who you are. As a believer, even though you haven't seen him, and we haven't, even though you haven't seen him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You can't even express the joy that's there. I haven't seen Christ, yet I know him. He's revealed himself to me. I believe in him. I trust in the cross. I trust in him alone for saving me from all of my sins, hurling them into the depths of the sea. He's given me righteousness. And as a result, I love him. And he gives me, and he gives you joy inexpressible. You can't even explain it. Have you had a Merry Christmas? People are going to say, oh, what would it do to people if we said inexpressible? Joy inexpressible, full of glory, as good as it could possibly be, because it was sourced in God. If you were to say, Mary, I can't. Mary does not describe it. Inexpressible. People would say, why? What happened? What'd you get? And to be able to respond and say, it's God is my exceeding joy. It's in him. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. Called to rejoice in him always. It doesn't mean that there's not times that we grieve, and it doesn't mean that there's not times where we're sad. But under it all is this joy that is found in him. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, God's word tells us. Joy that is sourced in an unchanging God, our exceeding joy. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Love that section of Scripture. But notice that it says, he will present you the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's no doubt in my mind that when I get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, you will have joy in such a manner that it'll be incomprehensible to you. I mean, literally, the Bible tells us that you will enter into the joy of the Lord. As happy as you could possibly be. In a place where never is there a time where it's just, why are you downcast, oh my soul? You've entered into the joy of the Lord. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You're in his presence. There's fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore. No sin, no sorrow, sadness. All those things have passed away. It's all become new. I'll tell you, you will enter into heaven and your joy will not be able to be improved upon. And yet, at the same time, we are to have joy now. God is so clear in that in Scripture. It's joy in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of God indwelling in us. Joy. Joy, that's there. Joy in God's sovereignty. 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. There's joy in that. For us this morning as a believer, regardless of our circumstances, God's word tells us, let the heavens rejoice, let's let the earth be glad. Why? Because God reigns. He's in control of whatever our circumstances are. He doesn't let a sparrow fall to the ground apart from his will. He knows all that we need. He's our provider. Rejoice. Be glad. Joy in trusting God. Psalm 5:11. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. I can't even begin to tell you how many verses there are like this that tells us to have our joy sourced in God, our exceeding joy, trusting in him. There is joy in trusting in God. We preach within our church so frequently on God's power, his greatness, his sovereignty over all things, because God tells us that in Scripture over and over again, because he wants us to have great thoughts of him. He wants us to see that he is trustworthy. He wants his people to trust him. You see where he gave them manna, his people manna, this food that came down every day, but they could only take what was necessary for that particular day. They learned to trust him. And the psalmist says, let them rejoice who put their trust in him. You want to have a Merry Christmas? You want to have joy at this particular time of the year? Trust him. Think on God and think on his power and look at your circumstances and say he has them all in his hand and he works all things together for good. It's not based on how nice of presents I'm able to give my family members or my friends. You may be looking at this year saying, it's such a bummer. We can't do what we normally do. Or it's not based on what you receive. It's based on him, trusting him. I love it when psalmist says things like, let them ever shout for joy. Enthusiasm that's there as far as shouting for joy. Incredible joy. Exceeding joy sourced in him. Joy in our salvation. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. I think of Pastor Derek Hull, who was in Sudan there in the area of Darfur. Stopped by the Janjaweed there as he's traveling through different war zones in the area of Darfur. They're speeding through a particular area, and he sees Janjaweed all around, surrounding him. Speeds ahead, goes as fast as he can so he can get out of that area, and all of a sudden, he sees someone with a shoulder-held rocket aimed right towards his vehicle. Slams on the brakes. They get out, and they have a gun pointed right at Derek and the other doctors and the other team members that were there. They're screaming and yelling. He doesn't understand what's going on, and all of a sudden, they take that AK-47 and engage it, ready to shoot it at his head. And he said, he goes, it went from, I don't know whether I'm going to ever see my family again, to where I'm going to die right here. The gunman, his eyes started welling up with tears. And Derek said, he just looked at him, and he goes, and I just smiled at him. He goes, I just thought, right now, I'm going to go see my God. He goes, and I smiled at him. You think of that, and who can do that? Here you see Hannah say, I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. I'm able to smile at my enemies because of the joy that is there in the salvation that is as great as it could possibly be. Thank God Derek was able to get out of there and able to come home. But in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, we can smile at our enemies because our joy is not sourced in this life. We can let goods and kindred go this mortal life also. Because our joy is found in Him. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Having a big view of God causes joy. Psalm 35, verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. We have joy in our righteousness. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Exceedingly. May it just be overflowing in our lives. Exceeding joy that comes from knowing that you, who have sinned throughout your entire life, are clothed with robes of righteousness. No wonder he goes to the altar of his God, to God his exceeding joy, because he knows that through Christ he's clothed with robes of righteousness. That's where we stand this morning. Totally righteous, not a righteousness that's of our own, but a righteousness that's found in him. God says, let the righteous be glad. They ought to be glad. They should rejoice before God. Smiles on their faces, joy in their hearts before him. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. May it just blow people away. Joy, indescribable, inexpressible. May that be what is inside of us because of the righteousness that we have in Christ positionally. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. That is what our God has done for us. Joy in our redemption. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. And my soul, which you have redeemed, greatly rejoicing as we sing. Greatly rejoicing because we have been redeemed. We have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. He's purchased us. And God says, as a result, greatly rejoice. Joy in reconciliation. Romans 5:11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. There is no longer a divide that is there between us and God because Christ is our mediator. He has made it so that we could approach the throne of God boldly. We're no longer enemies, but we're called His people, sons, His daughters. And God says, rejoice because of the reconciliation. Joy in obeying Christ. You keep my commandments, John 15, 10. You will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. There's joy in obeying Christ. There's joy in looking at his word and saying, I just want to please you. There is joy in that. He says, I've told you this. Abide in him. That your joy would be full, that you'd have fullness of joy. Joy in God's word. Psalm 119. I rejoice at your word as one who finds a great treasure. I rejoice in your word. Oh, how sweet would it be to find a great treasure? It would be nice for a lot of us right about now, huh? And yet the psalmist says, I rejoice in your word as one that finds a great treasure. How happy would you be in the next week if you found a treasure that was worth a couple $1,000,000? I think you'd be pretty happy. I would. And yet we have a treasure that's right here in God's word. Go to it daily. Go to the altar of God. To God, your exceeding joy. Read His Word. Search His Word. Look at what He has done for you. Look at who He is. And your heart will rejoice, God says, as one who has found a great treasure. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found. I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I ate them. I read them. I took them in. And as a result, he says, joy and rejoicing in my heart. Joy in prayer. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 16, 24. Pray, ask, that your joy may be full. Come to him in prayer, to the altar of your God, to God, your exceeding joy. You want a Merry Christmas? Spend time with God in prayer. Make your request known to him. God says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive. Joy in missions. Acts 15, 3. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Pastor Billy just here last week talking about what is taking place in Iraq right now. Conversions occurring amongst the young people. Church is flourishing. And as a result, like those in Acts 15, it caused great joy to all the brethren. Hearing of what God is doing in the uttermost parts of the world causes great joy for us. Joy in living an uncompromising life. Acts 20, verse 22. And see, Paul says, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying, chains and tribulations await me. Radical passage. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm not sure what's going to happen to me when I get to Jerusalem, but what I do know is that chains and tribulations await me. I think of how many of us, if we knew that chains and tribulations awaited us when we got to a city, would we ever go there? And yet he says, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy. He says, I'm going to go. The Holy Spirit's testified to me that chains and tribulations await me, but it doesn't move me because I want to finish my race with joy. And joy is not being comfortable. Joy is being in the will of God. Joy is being in a place where it's an uncompromising life. He says, I want to finish my race with joy, the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. There is nothing better than to tell people about the grace of God, to testify that our joy would be full, finishing with joy. Joyful Christmas is sharing the greatness of our God. Joy in persecution. Beloved, do not think it's a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Joy even in the midst of persecution. And for us here at Reverence Bible Church, joy in each other. May our Christmas be merry because we have brothers and sisters in Christ here in this congregation that we love. You hear 2 Corinthians 7:13, therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. There is joy that Titus has. And as a result of the joy that Titus had, he says, we rejoiced exceedingly more. I pray that there would be such joy amongst us as a congregation, individually, that the joy is such that it's contagious with the rest of us. Joy in Christ that encourages, blesses one another because our joy is sourced in him. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. says to the church, you're my joy and my crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy, the church. And then lastly, I encourage you to be joyful on a daily basis. Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sunday, December 7th, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Tomorrow is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Have a Merry Christmas because it is sourced in a God who is unchanging and who is full of joy. Go to the altar of your God. Draw close to him, to your exceeding joy. And may we respond like Pascal saying, my God and your God, joy, 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 tears of joy. Jesus Christ, may I never be separated from him, our source of joy. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for who you are and who you have been to us. You've made us your people. We are saved by the work of Christ on the cross alone. A calling with which you have called us. A salvation that is so great that it causes us to shout for joy, to sing with joy, to have exceeding joy within us. Because we find our position in you to be that which cannot be improved upon. I pray that we at Reverence Bible Church would stand out different than others, and that our joy is found as we draw close to you, our exceeding joy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.